The date was June 24th, 1997. Place was the Grace Hospital. Silas had just arrived. Been waited for a few months, 9 to be exact, and he had arrived. He was our first child. We had absolutely no clue what we were doing. But we did have several things going for us. We not only had a loving family to support us, but we also had a loving church. A church that was there to help us as we started our new family. From the very beginning, he attended church. He was part of our children's programs, part of our youth group. In fact, when he was just a few months old, he attended his very first youth retreat, not with Maranatha, but with Winnipeg E-Free. I was the guest speaker for that retreat, and it was a fun weekend where they got to know me a little bit better, as well as Silas, for the first time. As a toddler, he ran with all the big kids at youth group. He didn't really understand that he wasn't part of the youth group. He just thought that he was one of them. He enjoyed playing with them. As he grew up, he attended Lamplighters, our kids' programs, and all of the stuff. Lamplighters was a highlight of his week. He loved doing the crafts. He loves doing the sports. All of those wonderful things. When he got too old for that, he became a junior leader. He helped out in all areas of the church, and even in high school, he took on the position of caretaker of our church, where he learned some practical theology, or was that how to practice his theology. I didn't know how much or what God had planned for him, but after high school, he headed off to Briarcrest. I did know that he would end up in some sort of ministry. I honestly thought it would be music related. I was wrong. Maybe. I'm not sure. When he went back for his third year to get his Christian ministries degree, I knew at that point that he would follow in my footsteps. He would be in ministry. And so today I want to spend some time not focusing on Silas, but taking a break from our study in Mark, and to use our time this morning to commission Silas for ministry. And I know that there will be a service at Winnipeg E-Free, but we are sending him out to ministry today. And I want to share some teaching from the Gospels of Matthew and from John about that. So the traditional passages to go to are definitely from not Matthew 27 or John 13. I don't know what the traditional passages are, but today, Silas and the rest of us, we need to have a bucket theology. Let me explain what I mean by that. When Pilate was interviewing Jesus, do you remember what he did? He went and got a bucket. We've got a bucket here. He went and got a bucket, and he put his hands in the bucket, and he washed his hands. And Matthew 27 says, when Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but instead an uproar was starting, he took water and he washed his hands in front of the crowd. I am innocent of this man's blood, he said. This is your responsibility. See, Pilate's view is alive and well today. He knew what should have been done, but he took the easy way out. He passed on to others the responsibility that should have been his. And many people today pass the buck and they wash their hands clean of everything they possibly can. There's a little story about four young men. Their names are Tom Somebody, Dick Everybody, Harry Anybody, and Joe Nobody. Together, they were the best of friends, but they had a problem. You see, Whenever they were given a job, they began to fight. Everybody was sure that somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but in the end, nobody always ended up with the task. See, when nobody did it, somebody was angry because it was everybody's job. But everybody thought that somebody would do it instead. So when nobody realized that nobody would do it, consequently, everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could have done in the first place. Far too many have been content to let somebody else do the work. And the problem with that is there aren't that many somebody else's. And those who have grown, or who are that somebody else, they grow weary and tired. You see, Pilate's bucket is the wrong choice. It leads to death, it leads to destruction. But there is another choice. Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed before his death, he also called for a bucket. It all comes down to bucket theology. Which one will you use? When Silas was the caretaker here at the church, I did my best to ask him, or to have him understand this question, and to ask this question: if I don't do it, who will? If I've got a name for that, and it's a legitimate name, well, then let them do it, if it's their job. But if I don't do it, who will? And in John 13, we see that Jesus and his disciples, they're sharing the Passover meal together. They're instituting communion. And we will have communion here this morning in a little bit. But the Passover meal together, and Jesus got up from the meal. He took off his outer coat. He grabbed for himself a white towel, and he wrapped it around his waist, which I'm not going to do, because it'll fall off. After that, he poured water into a basin, and he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that he had wrapped around him. Now, Peter didn't like that too much. As a guest of honor, why was Jesus doing this? Have you ever stopped and wondered why Peter was so upset that Jesus was washing their smelly feet? It's because Peter knew it wasn't Jesus' responsibility. Washing feet was the job of a slave. This was unheard of. Jesus was their teacher. He was honored. If anything, somebody else should be washing his feet. And I think Peter knew it probably should have been him. You see, the roads in Israel and Jerusalem were dusty. They weren't beautiful asphalt. Well, they weren't asphalt like some of ours are. When it rained, it turned muddy. And it was the custom for the host to provide a servant at the door of his home to wash the feet of dinner guests as they arrived. And the servant would kneel down with a bucket of water and a towel and scrub off the mud and maybe even some manure from those foul feet. And if a home could not afford a slave or a servant, one of the early arriving guests would take up upon themselves the role of that servant and wash feet. It's interesting that absolutely none of the disciples had volunteered for the job. Jesus had sent some of them ahead to prepare for the meal, but they didn't think of that aspect of it. The room was filled with proud hearts and dirty feet. And the disciples were willing to fight for a throne because they had just been arguing about it. But they weren't willing to fight for the towel. See, Jesus is revealing that servanthood is, in fact, the responsibility of those who follow him. He actually goes on to say, "Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. See, this is a reenactment of heaven emptying itself for the sake of earth. And at the very minimum, Jesus is showing us that if the Son of God could humble himself and serve, then we must do the same. Because the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And we must do likewise. And like the disciples, we're often filled with a worldly spirit of criticism, of competition, and we try to position ourselves in the best light and to maneuver things for our own gain, because we desperately need this lesson in humility. Because obedience means personal involvement. We can't serve from a distance, but we must get close enough to get our hands dirty. If we're going to serve like Christ served, then we must learn to see others as he sees them. And in John 13, verse 17, Jesus goes on to tell us that if we do these things, we will be blessed. You see, Pilate used his bucket to avoid the rightful responsibility that was his. And Jesus used his bucket to take on the responsibility which most likely would be somebody else's. If we call ourselves Christ followers, then we shouldn't be looking for ways to wash our hands, but instead we should be getting them dirty. See, following this talk with the disciples, Jesus celebrated communion with them. And I want us to do that today. We're going to celebrate communion here in just a minute or two. I'm going to ask Ted to go get the kids and the teachers from there to join us for communion this morning. I want to invite each and every one of you to partake in the table this morning. Because the invitation is this: all who believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior are welcome to this table. And I invite us to partake. We're going to pass out the bread. Once it's been passed out, I will pray. We'll partake together as one. We'll do the same with the cup. But today I want us to try something different. Once we are done with the cup, if it's possible to just pass them to the aisle, any aisle, I don't care which aisle, pass them and stack them at the aisle, and it'll make it a little bit easier for us to clean them up at the end of the service. The Gospel of Matthew says that while they were eating, Jesus took bread and he gave thanks and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body." And then he took the cup and he gave thanks and he offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is the blood of my covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now until the day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." So this morning, as the servers come, if you believe Jesus as your Lord and Savior, servers, you can come. If you believe Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you declare him Lord in your life, please partake. If you don't, perhaps you want to make that declaration today. But if you don't, just take the plate and pass it along. It's all right. Lord Jesus, we thank you so very much that you went to the cross for us. That your death, through the breaking of your body, you provided a way for us to be saved, to be forgiven. Admit that we are all sinners in need of your forgiveness, and ask that you would forgive us now, we pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you that your blood was poured out for us. This cup is a representation of it. I thank you that you and your word declare that if we confess our sins, you are faithful just to forgive us our sins And so I thank you this morning that you have forgiven us. Words can't express it enough. Thank you so much. This we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. The Apostle Paul wrote these words. How then can they call on the one that they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? How can they hear without someone preaching to them? How can they preach unless they are not sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them who bring good news. Well, I want to do something different this morning. Silas is going to come up. He's going to have a seat on our stool at the front here. It's just on the other side of the communion table. And I'm going to wash his feet because he is going to be bringing the gospel. And so I want his feet not only to be beautiful, but clean. Maybe I'm just his dad. But Jesus, he washed his disciples' feet. And Paul tells us that the feet of those going out are to be beautiful as well. And so I would like to do that. And as I do that, I'm going to call the deacons and Holly as well to come forward. And they're going to read at this time a few notes from people who could not be here this morning. Some of them are from all over. They're from all over the country. So come forward at this time. And we're going to have them read while I wash some feet.
Okay, so I have a letter or a note from Sean Cordopat, and he says, who is a friend from Briarcrest, and he says, Silas, no one knows what the future holds. That's why its possibilities are infinite. Unless you follow Calvinist doctrine, in which case you're doing exactly what you meant to, and hey, that's a win too. I'm super excited for you as you enter a new chapter in life and begin at a new church. I wish I had some sagely wisdom to offer you, but the best I could do was Google quotes, and none of those quite felt right. Except for one from C.S. Lewis, whose advice I give to you. Friendship is unnecessary, like philosophy, like art. It has no survival value. As a friend who recognizes your appreciation for philosophy, art, and friendship, I'm sure that doesn't sit well with you, and you have a hard time reconciling how a wise man might have said that, and why in the world I thought it would be good advice for you now. Simply, it is because that is not where the quote ends. What Lewis was really saying is that friendship is unnecessary, like philosophy, like art. It has no survival value. Rather, it is one of those things that give value to survival. Over the last few years, I've been able to enjoy your friendship, and it is incredibly clear just how important people, not just your friends and family, but everyone you come into contact with you, are to you. This will no doubt be a blessing and a curse as you step into a pastoral role and are called to care for and love people at all times and in all situations. This is something that you already excel at, but eventually you'll be even better at it when you've learned to set boundaries and take time for yourself once in a while. I have only one thing left to say to you now. Undoubtedly, the course you are taking will present its own trials, and you will have to struggle through them, but remember that you don't have to do it alone. Even if you have days where you feel lost in a secret tunnel, trapped underneath a mountain of troubles, remember that there is only one way through. This is from Chris and Walter, and it says, Silas, at your creation, God put all the giftings and passion you would need for the road ahead. Self-control, wisdom, able to teach, gentleness, and hospitality, from 1 Timothy 3. God does not take back his gifts, so it is our choice if we operate out of our own strength or out of his. May it be your desire to submit all your giftings to God's plan, and may you see God's prosperity in your life. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. O Lord, do save, we beseech you. O Lord, we beseech you, do send prosperity. Psalms 118, 24, and 25.
Silas's message is from Levi and Midori. Hey, Silas. We hope that as you step into this new role of ministry, you will continue to grow and find strength and wisdom in the Lord. What an amazing opportunity to be used by him to bless and encourage others. Keep your eyes on him and remember not to compare yourself with others, but surrender to the Lord and allow him to define what success looks like in your ministry. We're proud of you and look forward to seeing how the Lord uses you, uses your life to bring himself glory. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Lamentations 3:21-26. Much love, Levi and Midori. And the next message here is from Caroline, Sean, Madeline, and Nolan. I saw a tree this week. Its branches were blowing around in a strong wind, but its solid trunk did not even give way, even sway. My prayer for you as you start this new adventure with the title of pastor is that your faith would keep you rooted and unshaken through all the challenges and uncertainties to come. And not only would you stand firm, but that you would flourish, Psalm 1 says. Blessed are those who delight in the law of the Lord and meditate on his law day and night. They are like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers, for the Lord watches over the way of the righteous. With lots of love, Carolyn and the Ward clan.
This is from Pat Setti, and it says, for Silas, this is a prayer. On this special day, we want to thank you, Father, for Silas, for those who brought him into this world, loved him, nurtured him, and brought him to this special day in his life. We pray that today you will instill in him your spirit and a new way to empower him, direct him in the ministry to which you have called him in Winnipeg EFC and in this community. We pray, O God, your blessing upon his congregation who have given this call to him. Would you bless each member, child, youth? May they support, arise in support of Silas in his ministry and the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. And then I have one more, and it's from Ron Kaliba. Silas, tomorrow you step into a new role that will consume your entire being, that of being a pastor, a youth pastor. Following in your dad's footsteps has brought delight to the Lord Jesus Christ and also to your parents. We too are in the lineup that congratulates you on your choice. The pastoral path has its uniqueness. The demands will dominate your entire being. The needs will exceed your capabilities. Your limitations will become publicly evident. And for all your insufficiencies, Scripture instructs you to rejoice. For in these situations, evidence of Christ's supremacy and the Spirit's life will bring glory to your Heavenly Father. And though initially you will want to claim personal success and credit for such results, in time, you will learn to be deeply satisfied with glorifying God. Never let the authority that comes with your position exceed the godliness of your character. Authority is powerful. Use it to lift faces up to see Christ. Give to those God places under your care Jesus and your own life as well. You have studied, been educated, honed your talents, and had a taste of ministry. Use these treasures intelligently. You know that God has sovereignly brought you to this moment. Whatever you have and have set before God on his table, please look at what else is on his divine table and see there the once crucified Christ, the stains left by his blood. Never let that impression leave the consciousness of your mind. See also that he is risen, alive, bringing to us what we so desperately need but are unable to attain. Proclaim, preach, sing, talk, write with the Holy Spirit's enabling about Jesus' excellence. Do not be ashamed of him or his church. Be humble, gracious, display an attitude of desire of teachability. Permit God to work in you in an increasing love for him and his people. Walk by faith. Let hope get you out of the bed in morning, out of the bed in the morning. And as you look in the mirror before others see you, may you see the face of one who has been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Permit truth and love to walk with you for 18 waking hours of each day. Just an extra word of truth. It is evident that it has currently run into hard. It is evident that it has currently run into hard times. But the Spirit give you a backbone that stands against evil and discernment in how and when to declare it without apology or embarrassment. I personally look forward to and offer myself to seeing you become who will stand in the gap for our Lord. God's best, Ron Kleba.
And the first one is from Ed and Darlene Friesen, Davis Folks. Silas, your Heavenly Father loves you. May you know that you are secure in your love of God and that he loves you with the height and depth and breadth that only Jesus Christ could give you, and that your sins have been separated from you as far as the east is from the west, that God has great plans for you, and may you be confident in your salvation. May you know that Jesus is always with you, will never leave you or forsake you. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will keep you. I will help you, uphold you with my victorious right hand. Isaiah 41:10. We love you, Silas, and we'll continue to pray for you. God's blessing on your life and on your ministry. Love from Grandma and Grandpa in Okotoks. Then from the Valley Army, I'm not here today. Silas, I wish you God's power, wisdom, and energy as you undertake this new chapter in your life. From Cassandra Jones, she says, hello, friends, and then Silas. I pray that God will bless you, take care of all of your needs. I trust that he is doing that and that you feel him near you at all times. Go with him each step of the way. He will bless your ministry, your friend in Christ, Cassandra. And John Hart, Silas, when God opens a door, it's up to us to say, yes, Lord, and you have done that. I will continue to pray that God will bless you, work through you with his youth, that they too will draw close to God and long to serve him. As you start your ministry at Winnipeg Evangelical Free Church, may God bless you. Even at times when the task seems quite large, remember, God will never give us more than we can handle. Isaiah 41:10, so do not fear, for I am with you. P.S., I look forward to hearing you speak sometime. Congratulations, my friend. Sincerely, John Hart. And then from Tim Ryan, the pastor of Winnipeg Free, Winnipeg Evangelical Free Church are very excited to have Silas as our new youth and young adult pastor. He handled himself so well during the candidating process, so Maranatha Church, you should be very proud of one of your own. And you too, Mom and Dad of Silas. I personally am very excited to minister with Silas and to have the opportunity to develop him as a pastor and as a young man. We will take very good care of Silas. Thank you for releasing him to us and for blessing him to come and serve with us. But don't stop praying for him. Thank you, Pastor Tim Ryan, lead pastor at Winnipeg Free.
I know that there are some here who also would like to say something in person. So this time I'm going to call Pat. I think you've met her once before. I think you spent a few classes in Sunday school with her.
Okay, this is the boy that made me into a granny. And I never thought that anything would be better than having my own kids. But the first grandchild taught me how much fun it is to still have little ones around to play with. And you will always be a young one to me. Your many God-given gifts, he didn't waste them on just anybody, but someone like you who will use every talent that you were blessed with to learn and to help others and to teach and to compete and to entertain and to share and to befriend people, just about everybody you come into contact with. I love that you have never been hesitant to share your friends with your elderly grandparents. You always were happy to bring people over to our place. I love that you were always enthusiastic to share your latest discoveries with everyone. I learned a lot from you. I love that you have never been hesitant to act as if your faith in God is the most natural and fun thing in a person's life. I love that there is always music when you're around. And so it looks like you are natural as someone who will have a career teaching and influencing and nurturing and enthusing people and passing on God's love. Now, if you could only learn up to be able to get up on time, you'd be perfect.
I heard that hope is going to help with that. I know that there's at least one more person here. Kennedy, will you come and share? If there are others who want to say a word of blessing, you are more than welcome to do that in just a moment. But we are going to have a time of prayer for Silas as well. So if you want to pray for him, that's when I'll call you at that time.
Hi. Isaiah 43 verse 2 says, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, for the flames will not set you ablaze." Though you may not be passing through literal flames, I'm sure youth ministry will definitely feel like that at times. But worry not, our great God of hope will keep you from being set ablaze. To carry this on, Psalm 37, verse 23 says, "The Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him. Though he may stumble, he will never fall." So here's to Silas, a man who truly finds delight in the Lord. Ministry will be overwhelming at times, but these are the steps God has laid out for you. And you have so carefully and faithfully listened to him, and for that he will be glad. Silas, while walking through swift currents and roaring flames, may the Lord continue to place your steps firmly on the ground, and in him you will not fall. You will never fall with God behind you.
Silas, will you join me on the stage? I've got some questions that I would like to ask you this morning. And if you would answer appropriately, that would be great. Silas, do you believe that you are truly called according to the will of the Lord Jesus to ministry?
I do.
Do you believe that the Spirit or that the Scriptures are the Word of God and they contain the complete and final revelation of God's will for salvation of all? And are you committed to teach the truths of His Word?
I do, and I am.
Will you be willing to point out and correct all erroneous and strange doctrines contrary to the Word of God?
I will.
Will you be diligent in prayer and the study of the Scriptures so that you will be fully equipped to minister?
I will.
Will you be committed to your family and your church to present yourself as a wholesome example of the Christian walk?
I will.
Is it your desire to live a life of integrity and to grow in Christ-like character in all the aspects of your life, not only today, but for all eternity?
Absolutely.
Are you committed to uphold the doctrine of the Free Church of Canada so that you may teach the youth of Winnipeg Evangelical Free Church with diligence so that they may keep and respect these same doctrines?
Yes.
Silas, based upon your answer, knowing you as your father, it is with incredible joy, as well as honor, that I am able to commission you into the Lord's service today. I am excited that you are following the Lord's calling on your life into ministry. I'm going to ask the deacons to come, and anyone else who would like to at this time, come and pray for him. And once everyone has prayed, deacons and anyone else who wants to come, please come forward. We're going to pray. If you don't feel comfortable coming to the front to pray and want to do it from your seat, you're more than welcome to do that as well. But if you would like to come up here and pray, we'd love to have you do that. And in the end, I will close in prayer for him.
Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for blessing us with Silas, and I just pray that you would just fill him up in every way, Lord. I pray that you would give him wisdom and discernment when there's tough decisions to make, Father, and I just pray that you would give him joy in the darkness, Lord, and I pray that that your light in him would shine even when things are dark and difficult, but that he would lean on you. Father, I pray that you would keep him safe, even just physically, Father. I just pray that you would keep your angels around him as he works and loves on people as you want him to. Lord, I pray that you would just help him to wake up each morning with you in his heart and first and foremost in front of you, Father, so that each step that he takes is in the right direction. And Father, I just pray that even though he's not going far away, that he knows that he is precious to us and that we love him and we will miss him. In Jesus' name, amen.
Heavenly Father, I just thank you for Silas. And it's with sadness that we say goodbye to him today, but it's also with joy that we commission him as he goes off to Winnipeg E-Free. So, Heavenly Father, I pray that you just anoint him today. Holy Spirit, Jesus, anoint him with your spirit, with wisdom, with understanding, with how to walk in these rivers and fires that may be ahead. Father, I just pray that he would speak your word, speak truth. Just have the Spirit of the Lord upon him as he goes out to Winnipeg E-Free, and just help him as he ministers to the youth and all those around him. I pray for favor upon him and blessing, and as he shines as a light where he goes in Winnipeg E-Free. So we just bless him today and send him out to do great things for your glory, Lord. Amen.
Heavenly Father, it is with grateful hearts that we say, so long, not goodbye, so long to Silas. And again, we ask that you would just be so close to him that nothing can get in between him and you, even though times will be very, very active and busy, but that through it all, he will still be able to say, yes, Lord, to whatever you ask him to do. It's so sometimes the hardest thing in the world to do, and yet down the line it brings the greatest joy. So we pray that you would touch his heart, his life, physically and spiritually, emotionally, that in every way he will just simply abandon himself to you. And then as he goes through his days, whether alone or with somebody else alongside, may he be able to look back and say, there were so many days, so many months, so many years that he made his way to where he is today. So we're so grateful for that. Ask your continued blessing. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Lord, I thank you for Silas. I pray that he'll be at this new church the way he has been here since the beginning, always willing to help, always humble, always fun, and that he would just bless the people there like he has blessed us. And Lord, I just pray with youth, it's a difficult time in their lives, and that he'll just be able to, through you, see what they need to hear, and not from himself, but from you, speak to these youth that need you so desperately. And Lord, they have much turmoil in their lives these days, and that he will speak from you, and not just from his fun self all the time, but really what you want him to say, and that also includes fun. And Lord, I just thank you for him and all his great gifts, and that he'll use them for you, and I ask you to bless him.
Almighty God, you are an amazing God. You are the giver of all good things, who by the Holy Spirit you have appointed ministers of your church. And you have called Silas to be a minister. May you sustain him with the truth of your word. May he faithfully serve you and edify your name above all else, both by his words and his deeds. It is only by your infinite love and strength that he will be able to minister. And I ask that you would continue to bless him as you already have richly blessed him. As he ministers in your name, I pray that your gospel would be made apparent to all. Give him the courage and the strength to uphold your truth and to do so with love and compassion. I praise you for who you are and how you have already been working in Silas's life. And may he use all of the gifts that you have given him for your glory. May your kingdom grow and be properly equipped through the ministry of my dear son Silas, in whom I am well pleased, and I know that you are as well. In the name of your glorious Son, Jesus, we pray, by the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. By the laying on of hands, we affirm the calling of Jesus Christ onto Silas Friesen to be a minister of your church in the manner in which Moses blessed Aaron, his sons, to be priests. I bless you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. We've had a full service. I would ask that the worship team, or the rest of the worship team, come up here and join us this morning in our closing song.